Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great nation despite the fact that a great problem has been gnawing at this nation for generations now. The problem is untreated mental illness. And part of the problem has been funding. Part of the problem has been government policy. But the results have been tragic and amazing. And you can see them in acts of violence, crime, self-destruction, homelessness spreading everywhere. There is a new book which is about the crisis in mental illness, particularly schizophrenia. The book is called The Best Minds, A Story of Friendship, Madness, and the Tragedy of Good Intentions. It's written by Jonathan Rosen, an acclaimed author, and of four other books. His novels include Eve's Apple and Joy Comes in the Morning. He has written this book about one of his close friends who ended up committing a grisly and tragic murder. Jonathan, it's a pleasure speaking with you over the phone.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, and congratulations on the book. Basically, the one question that seems to me to underline the entire subject of The Best Minds, and we've published information about the book at our website at michaelmedved.com, is when it comes to dealing with schizophrenia, and as such a brilliant mind as your friend Michael, and somebody who actually, despite having severe mental illness and breakdowns, and managed to graduate from Yale Law School, but ended up committing a truly tragic and horrifying murder. People have been talking about mental illness and how prominent it is all across the country for years and years and years. Haven't we made tremendous progress medically, chemically, with the treatment of schizophrenia? And why has that fallen short?
Well, there are a lot of answers packed into those questions, I guess, but one thing I would say is that so many changes have happened in the last 40 years that even to talk about mental illness is confusing, because the promise made when President Kennedy said he was going to replace cold custodial care with the, you know, warm embrace of the community, the promise made was to those who were in psychiatric hospitals, the 3 or 4% of the population with severe mental illness. But the term mental illness has been so widely applied that it's possible to say that half of all Americans have it or have had it, and it makes it extremely difficult to discuss those who were most in need, least capable of asking for help, and as a symptom of their illness, often unaware that they were sick. So in the name of the rights of, quote, the mentally ill, people, as happened with my friend Michael, felt they were defending his autonomy. They were really protecting his illness and exposing him to destruction and, of course, his fiance to death. And so that's one problem. As with a lot of things today, what we call things and what they actually mean is an issue. We've made progress treating people with severe mental illness. The problem is always compliance, what kind of follow-up care, and it often comes down to that moment of, can you get people to do something against their will if it is in their best interests and their will is the product of an illness so severe they do not know what is real. Just as if I fainted on the street, I hope someone would call 911. Maybe it was a stroke. Maybe it was a heart attack. Maybe I had low blood pressure or low blood sugar. But the obvious need would be I needed to go to a hospital. Laws changed in such a way that only being violent was a reason to be hospitalized, not being sick. And so, again, I'm cramming all these things together because it unfolded over a lot of time. And yet, for me, because Michael was my childhood best friend, when I went to write the book, it did not occur to me how much of the world, the 60s we'd grown up envying and wishing we'd been born in, had changed the culture, that changed the laws, that transformed the culture. So when he got really sick, the world that should have been there to care for him and the attitudes that might have been there were broken in many ways.
I don't want you to give away the entire story that you tell here and about your competitive friendship at some point, and both of you obviously achieving great academic distinction. And what was the basic outline, though, the story of Michael that people need to understand?
Well, at every stage, first of all, he was extremely smart. His mind worked much better than mine. I was dyslexic, although I didn't know it, so I was always faking it or felt I was. He had a photographic memory. He read at blistering speed. We both went to Yale, but he graduated in 3 years. He went to work for Bain. He had a psychotic break. After just a year, he began to have a long prodromal period, the symptoms of mental illness without a full-blown break, which continued for several years. He applied to Yale Law School, had his break, but went to Yale Law School anyway. And so the narrative, part of what makes it complex is that the Times profiled him. The New York Times profiled him after he finished Yale Law School and couldn't get hired. Now, first he concealed, on the advice of his professors, his illness. Then he, as he said, came out as a flaming schizophrenic. But what was interesting is that the profile really presented him in a very heroic light, which was wonderful. It's just that, in fact, as I later learned, he really wasn't able to do the work, although he was seen as brilliant and was brilliant. And so the accommodations of his professors were incredibly well-intentioned, but his understanding of himself and their understanding of what he couldn't do was different. The Times wrote this wonderful profile, and as a result of the profile, Hollywood came calling and bought his story, and he sold the memoir that was going to be the basis of the story called The Laws of Madness. Ron Howard was going to direct it. Brad Pitt was going to play him. But people kept telling his story as if it was a Hollywood story. The Hollywood story, which the Times kind of shaped its profile as, was someone conquers, as they said, his illness. You don't conquer the illness. You live with it. It waxes, it wanes. But it was already described as a Hollywood story. One of Michael's professors said to me when I was writing the book, he said, don't blame Hollywood, because, of course, Hollywood is in the business of fantasies. He said, you know, Yale Law School gave the story to the Times. The Times gave the story to Hollywood. I mean, it's not Yale Law School that's a dream factory. It's not, as I have a section of the book called The House of Psychiatry, that's supposed to confuse psychosis with an exalted, mind-expanding state. But all those elements were bound up. So this story is a tragedy because so many people felt they were helping him, honoring his autonomy when really he was ill. He had stopped taking his medication, but they felt they couldn't intervene and wanted to save him from the system, which was a very broken system, to be sure. But they forgot that there were worse things. Like today, people think that it may be a choice to live with severe illness, but they don't realize what they're saying is prison or death are better, you know, for someone than medication they may not wish.
Well, you talk in the material about the book, The Best Minds, you talk about the story playing out against the terrible background of one of the great terrible experiments of modern America, the emptying out of state hospitals in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. So what do we need to do differently, considering the magnification of this problem, and it's visible all around us? We will be right back with Jonathan Rosen, author of The Best Minds, A Story of Friendship, Madness, and the Tragedy of Good Intentions.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly two decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael Medved here for AmFed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends Nick Grovich and Company, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call AmFed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Tehibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
And on the Michael Medved Show, joined by Jonathan Rosen, who is the author of 5 books, most recently The Best Minds, A Story of Friendship, Madness, and The Tragedy of Good Intentions. And it has now been 25 years since Jonathan's childhood best friend, whose name was Michael Lauder, killed his pregnant girlfriend, Carrie Costello, the person he loved most in the world. He didn't realize who it was that he was killing at the time of the murder. Is that right?
That's right. He was found not guilty by reason of insanity by a forensic psychiatrist chosen by the DA because he had a high threshold for finding people and say he had found Jeffrey Dahmer sane, for example, to give you an example. But the way it works is if at the time you commit the crime, the killing, you are truly in the grip of delusion so strong you do not know what's real and what isn't, or you do not know what is right and what is wrong. And he thought his girlfriend, his fiance, was a non-human alien, as the psychiatrist described it.
Michael still alive?
He is. He was found not guilty by reason of insanity, and so he was sent to a forensic hospital. That's part of the pain of the whole thing, is that only in the hospital, after he had committed a violent, killed someone, was he medicated and put in the hospital. The care that he required beforehand he did not get, but afterwards he did, and that's what happens to a lot of people. As the fear that compelling someone who is truly sick, part of a very small percentage of people who have severe mental illness, and a subset of that group who don't know they're ill, compelling them to either hospitalize them, get them medication, to do that, it's as if to spare people the difficulty of that hard choice, which is just the work of what it means to be a society, they would rather sacrifice the people who most need their help. You asked me before, what can we do? I don't have any easy fix. There are lots of wonderful people. Brian Stetton, who advises Mayor Adams, is deeply knowledgeable. Fuller Torrey, a psychiatrist, has written many books about...
He's been a guest on the show many times.
Yeah, he's quite extraordinary because his compassion is profound. His sister suffered from schizophrenia. There need to be more hospital beds. There need to be a way to get people help, when either as outpatient treatment or in hospitals. The fact that Medicaid is like the largest mental health provider in the country, but if you're in a long-term care facility, there are no Medicaid reimbursements. That was partly the way the people who were engineers of the institutionalization wanted to transfer the authority from the states who had cared for people with mental illness for over 100 years to the federal government. And so the states just released people. The biggest thing I think is important for me, and I say this, I don't know if I say it in the Atlantic piece, that is an excerpt, but also a somewhat, rewritten article to reflect current trends. The biggest thing I always say to people, it's not a policy, don't lie. Don't think you're helping someone by pretending away any distinction. If someone has severe illness, then how you treat it is a part of the discussion. What happens to people who do not take medication if they need it is part of the discussion. One of the very painful things for me was reading the Times profile. Michael explained that he was sometimes asked when he interviewed for a job if he ever became violent. And he explained to the reporter that it's one of the very hurtful stereotypes. And of course it is. But it was also the case that when he thought his own parents were Nazi replicas who had killed his real parents, he armed himself with a kitchen knife. And so it wasn't only a hateful stereotype. And it would have allowed people to understand the nature of his illness and help him had they not thought they were, bestowing a favor on him by erasing all actual elements of his illness in discussing it. It's in no way
Has he been able to live any kind of normal life or to use his Yale law degree, anything like that?
No. His hospitalization is still dominated by his illness. You have to understand now that for him to recognize what he's done, he has to live with the fact that he killed the person he loved most in the world and his unborn child. She was pregnant. And not to recognize it is to live inside a world still that's divorced from reality. And so that's an intermediate state, and I don't really know how you emerge from it, although, you know, some people do. But again, so I don't know the answer to that more fully than that.
And this, right now, the city where I've lived for more than a quarter century, in the city of Seattle, we have a tremendous overpopulation of homeless people, people living on the street, who often are suffering acutely from schizophrenia and other a myriad mental illnesses. Is there something better society could do with those individuals, such as rebuilding that state hospital system that you talk about in your book, and the book again called The Best Minds? You talk in your book about the disaster of dismantling our whole system of state mental hospitals. Does it need to be rebuilt?
No, I don't. Originally, my book was called No Going Back. There's no going back to that time. But people who need hospital beds should get them. People who have chronic disorders need to have a way of staying in the hospital if that's where they need to be. There need to be outpatient treatment programs, and there need to be what was supposed to happen, true community care that focuses on those who are most in need. And that will, I do think, begin to change things, but it will change only. And there are so many pieces that have to be rebuilt, it's easy to argue against any fix. The mayor in New York has correctly decided that people who are, in fact, dying in slow motion on the street because they're too ill to know it and who can't care for themselves should be taken to the hospital for evaluation. The headlines responded as if they were being rounded up and locked away forever. But in fact, that's not the case. The problem is that there aren't hospital beds. There need to be more. There need to be places people can live loaded with services, supportive housing, that have psychiatric services on site so that people can be monitored and live increasingly independent lives as they improve, if they improve.
The book is called The Best Minds, A Story of Friendship, Madness, and the Tragedy of Good Intentions. It's posted up at our website at michaelmedved.com. Coming up, everybody remembers the alarms about the population bomb back in the 70s. Now, one of America's leading geographers is panicked about the depopulation bomb. What does that mean exactly? We will get to that with Joel Kotkin coming up on the MedVet Show.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. New York City Mayor Eric Adams says Republicans should be focusing on other issues after some GOP members of the House Judiciary Committee announced they're holding a hearing in New York City for alleged crime victims.
Listen, this is not about public safety. We're trending in the right direction. Their districts are trending in the wrong direction.
Committee members say the hearing is for people who have suffered as a result of Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's policies. Police say a shooting outside a funeral home in Northeast Washington, D.C. was a targeted attack. The D.C. police chief says four people were shot and one person is dead. That shooting broke out this afternoon outside the Stewart funeral home. The founder of Theranos must wait out her conviction appeal in a jail cell. A judge ruled that while Elizabeth Holmes isn't a flight risk, he doubts her conviction will be overturned even if she wins her appeal. John Schaefer, USA News.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
And on the Michael Medved Show, about 50 years ago, there was a worldwide panic about the dangers to humanity of breeding ourselves to death. There were just going to be too many people, not able to feed people, to care for people, people dying of mass starvation everywhere, and things developing into a complete nightmare. A famous number one best-selling book called The Population Bomb was written by a Stanford professor named Paul Ehrlich, and exactly the opposite of what he had predicted seems to have developed. We now have, according to Joel Kotka, not a population bomb, but the depopulation bomb. A subtitle of his piece, Joel Kotkin's, is Worldwide Demographic Decline Will Soon Pose a Serious Challenge for Humanity. Joel Kotkin has been described by the New York Times as America's Uber geographer. He's an internationally recognized authority on global, economic, political, and social trends. He's also the Roger Hobbs Presidential Fellow in Urban Futures at Chapman University in Orange, California. Joel, a pleasure to speak with you again. You mentioned two of the prominent victims of the depopulation bomb, Japan and Russia. What's going on with those two countries in particular?
Well, there seems to be some things in common that are responsible for this. Some of it is the very high cost of living, the fact that incomes aren't going up. Those are certainly major factors. In Russia, you also have a certain amount of immigration out of the country. But the reality is almost everywhere in the world outside of sub-Saharan Africa and a couple of other spots in the Middle East and in Central Asia, the birth rates are now what we call below replacement. That is, you need 2.1 children per couple to replace the couple, and countries are way below that, some of them very far below it. And so, the, you know, the problem is that, you know, you won't feel it immediately as, you know, as where there are no people, but we're going to have a society in much of the world where the number of young people is going to be less than the number of old people, and that's going to have all sorts of implications, political and financial among them.
And you are seeing some of those, you write, in France right now with the riots about the increase of the retirement age from 62 to 64. Why is that related to the depopulation bomb?
Well, because what it really, what we're going to start to see is more and more people, older people, or people in their late middle age, beginning to worry about whether or not their pensions are going to get paid. And so any attempt by a government, let's say, to raise the Social Security age or to say, hey, look, these pensions, we can't really afford them, gets a reaction. And older people tend to be well organized. They tend to go out and vote, and they're able to really disrupt the political system. I mean, one of the things that's happening in much of the world is that that the societies are not producing enough young people to add to the economy to pay for the pensions of the old people, and that situation will become worse and rapidly much worse over the next 20 years.
And basically, are there any organized efforts yet to deal with this this coming imbalance? And again, and why is it that sub-Saharan Africa seems to be exempt from this tendency? Why does that stick out so differently from most of Europe and Asia?
Well, first of all, a lot of this has to do with, you know, you have to look at what the drivers are. Decline of religion is a driver. Africa is one of the places in the world, whether it's Muslim or Christian, has a strong religious orientation. You also have people who are living in the countryside as opposed to cities. That will tend to have create a more of a more population. Women may not be as heavily educated. Now, by the way, all these things will change. I mean, in 20 years, I would imagine that we will see in Africa what we've seen in East Asia, or at least to some extent, or in the United States, over time as Africa becomes more urbanized, women become better educated. But it's going to be a while. And so the only real source of surplus labor is going to be basically in Africa. And that's going to create all sorts of dilemmas. Now, the question is, how do we deal with it? I don't think the issue is anymore, are we going to have too many people in, let's say, the vast majority of the major countries in the world? Because that's not the issue. Is there any attempt to change that? There's sort of two approaches that I see that are possible. One is to replace what we don't have by essentially letting immigrants in to do the things that we don't have young people to do anymore. Or you can turn increasingly to technology and try to use technology to replace the lost labor. I don't see almost any effort. Certainly not in Europe or the U.S. where there's really a concerted effort to turn this around. And frankly, you have, on the other hand, you have a very powerful green movement, which thinks this is great. You know, if half the population of the world disappeared in the next 40 years, you know, they would say that's great.
And to your answer to them?
My answer to them is, what kind of society do you want to have? I think these are the questions that we are not dealing with. Do we want a society where we don't have human beings to take care of the elderly, they're taken care of by robots? Do we want a society where, because we don't have enough young people to be innovators, we become increasingly stagnant? These are things that are going to be shaping the world ahead of us. And I just don't think there is a consciousness out there to saying, well, maybe there's a problem, that maybe the problem is not so much that we have too many people, but that we have too few, and that, and this is a particularly felt in Europe, which is, well, then the only way we can survive economically and demographically is by bringing people in en masse from other cultures, and there's a lot of resistance to that.
What we're looking at is in future years. I mean, you talk about in Japan the population going down. I think you said in the next 20 years from 126 million to 90 million. That's yes. Something that everyone's going to feel.
Yes. Now, Japan is an interesting case because they will not take immigrants. Now, Japan has some advantages in that it's a more coherent society. People are more disciplined, and it's going to be sad. The Japanese countryside is certainly emptied out. They're going to have financial problems. But the key thing about Japan is, as one friend of mine put it, Japan got rich before it got old. More important is, what about China? Which is really, as a country, really still not a rich country, but it's also going through the same process. And that's going to be a real crisis.
Another Chinese crisis with a different perspective. Joel Calkin's piece, which is extremely alarming and insightful, is called The Depopulation Bomb. It is posted at our website at michaelmedved.com. We'll be right back.
The Michael Medved Show, all across America. This is The Michael Medved Show. 1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show.
Why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. It's just $19.95 for a 3-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, michaelmedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. Presidents, wars, electoral landslides, Middle East conflicts, third parties, the Constitution, the founding, the revolution. That's all covered in special Medved history programs, which can be yours free. You also get the ability to hear the show anytime you want and commercial free. Medved Plus membership at our website. Go to michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner and a special offer, 20% off, limited time. Some of America's most important principles, like freedom of conscience, speech, rule of law, sanctity and dignity of human life, the family, and economic freedom, are under contemporary assault. It's more important than ever to teach our nation's traditional values and timeless principles. Now, these sometimes forgotten values must be remembered and communicated, and the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College exists to accomplish just that. The Institute promotes these principles to the next generation of leaders on campus and across the country. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com and you'll find online courses on Ronald Reagan and James Madison. And above all, a vigorous defense of Western civilization and its highest values. Advocating for these timeless principles is why Grove City College continues to be a beacon in higher education. Go to faithandfreedom.com.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
On the Michael Medved Show, one of the surprises in American life has been the impact of the Dobbs decision, which overruled Roe versus Wade. And I know many people felt that once Roe v. Wade was in the history books and was no longer binding precedent, that the abortion issue would subside, it would be left to the states, which is basically what the Constitution, it seems to me, has always mandated. But in fact, if anything, the abortion issue has heated up enormously, especially with the ruling by a U.S. District Judge in Texas. His name is Matthew Kaczmarek, a ruling that the abortion drug that is most commonly used, it's used in the majority of all abortions that take place in this country, mifepristone. He ruled that even though it's been used for 20 years, it's had a no indications of bad outcomes at all. In fact, it is less complications associated with the use of that drug than either the surgical abortions or the delivery of a baby. And it now, over 400 drug company leaders delivered a scorching condemnation of that ruling by U.S. District Judge Matthew Kaczmarek that invalidated the Food and Drug Administration's approval of mifepristone, the most commonly used abortion-inducing drug. The statement shows that the reach of the case stretches far beyond abortion. Unlike Roe v. Wade and other past landmark abortion lawsuits, this one could challenge the whole foundation of the regulatory system for all medicine in the United States. The Biden administration filed an emergency request Monday asking a federal appeals court to block a ruling that sustained approval of mifepristone, that suspended approval of mifepristone, and that would be happening within 7 days. While some Democratic-led states announced contingency plans to stockpile abortion drugs. Every Democrat in Congress and around 50 senators and 190 representatives is expected to sign on to an amicus friend of the court brief to be filed today, backing the Biden administration's appeal of the ruling. This connects very directly to an extremely alarming editorial, and it's a very smart one, too, by Kimberly Strassel of the Wall Street Journal. And she writes, conservatives cheered mightily last year when the Supreme Court returned abortion to the states with Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization. And rightly so. Yet that was a legal victory. The political question is something else entirely. And it's the left that's cheering now. In race after race, state after state, Democrats are pummeling conservative candidates on abortion, drowning out every other topic, stoking fearful centrist suburbanites and women to turn out and elect them to office. That's the message from voters pretty much everywhere. If and when Republicans choose to unwax their ears in early November, a majority of voters in bright red Kentucky rejected an amendment that would have made it easier to restrict abortion. In the midterms, Democrats hammered GOP, Senate, and gubernatorial candidates on abortion and won. They also used it to claw back control of state legislative chambers, including in Michigan, where the midterm ballot featured an initiative guaranteeing abortion rights, which drove turnout and won overwhelmingly. The problem with all of this is, again, where do you go from here? And what happens in Florida? In Florida, after the Dobbs decision, they passed a new abortion law which limited abortion to the first 15 weeks of pregnancy. So, in other words, it was exactly the same as the Mississippi law that was at issue when the court made the Dobbs decision. And now they're talking about pushing the standard back in Florida, the law back, to banning all abortion after the first 6 weeks of pregnancy. And as people point out, sometimes women don't even know that they're pregnant when you're only 6 weeks there. It seems to me that one of these things, and I'm going to be writing about this and talking about it a little bit more, is the need to try to understand what it is that the pro-life movement really is about and what it really needs. And what is necessary is expanding the whole idea into not just a pro-life movement, but a pro-parenthood movement. Because the only way that we are going to continue to bring more people into the world to deal with that depopulation bomb that we were just talking about, the only way to do that is to make it easier, more possible, to give encouragements to parenthood, because that is what is under attack. And the notion now has to become not so much to change laws as to change hearts, as to change basically people's feelings, their personal decisions to welcome children into this world is one of the great blessings of life. And to be pro-parenthood is one of those things that I think that Republicans need to be, and very explicitly. And to go against that old claim, like Joy Reid, who says that once the fetus is out, the evangelicals don't give a damn. I don't think that's true. I don't think it's fair. And the idea that it isn't fair must be demonstrated and emphasized. Speaking of emphasized, one of those movies that is about life and what life really means is a film called Living. It's a remake of a classic Japanese film. It was nominated for Best Actor for the wonderful Bill Nighy in it. Here's the film now widely available for streaming everywhere. Living.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
The English actor Bill Nighy is outstanding as a one-dimensional, work-obsessed bureaucrat in Britain of the 1950s who suddenly learns that he has only a few weeks to live. In this remake of a classic Japanese film by Kurosawa, Ikuru, this intimate epic is called Living. Now playing in select theaters.
Well, sir, it's time to live a little.
If only to be alive for one day, but I realize that I don't know how. No, I remember.
And what helps him remember is an innocent but impactful new friendship with a much younger woman and renewed dedication to the cause of civic virtue. No, it's not the equal of the original classic film, but it's tough not to be impressed by the gorgeous evocations of Britain of 70 years ago and the universally expert acting. Rated PG-13 for subject matter of illness and death. 3 stars for the lyrical and lovely Living. And it is a memorable and very touching film to see, which goes to some of the more important issues about life and death surrounding the life expectancy issue and more that we will be exploring later in this week. We'll also be taking a look at the San Francisco grocery store, which is closing due to deteriorating street conditions and just the proliferation, as particularly in San Francisco, of course, of shoplifting. And then will there be a Republicans offering a new pro-life agenda, or more appropriately, as I would suggest, a new pro-parenthood agenda involving Medicaid, sex education, and maybe even birth control. We will get to that. 58% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck, including many who are earning 6 figures, according to a CNBC survey. We'll be speaking later in this week with Doug Schoen, a political analyst and veteran pollster, about the shape of the campaign to come, and Paul Kengor about America's defense of democracy around the world. That and much more in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit KaanapaliResort.com. That's KaanapaliResort.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.